Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the VersaBank fourth quarter results conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to David Taylor. Please go ahead, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you, Melanie, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to VersaBank's 2019 fourth quarter and annual financial results. Also with me today, I have Sean Clark, who is our Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, please note that the conference call slides, quarterly results, news releases, and supplemental financial information are all available on our website, which is versabank.com. I'd like to remind our listeners that statements about future events made on this call are forward-looking in nature and are based on certain assumptions and analysis made by management. Actual results could differ materially from our expectations due to various material risks and uncertainties associated with VersaBank's business. Please refer to our forward-looking statements. I'm turning to slide three. Our strategy of using new technologies to access otherwise unattainable banking niches is working very well. Over the past 5 years, EPS has grown by a phenomenal annual compounded growth rate of 24%. This year's EPS increased to 85 cents, and core cash earnings increased to $1.30 per share. This net income growth allowed us to increase our regulatory capital, which fuels our growth, and also increase our dividend. Turning to slide four, during 2019, we accomplished a number of key tasks. We were approved by MasterCard as an issuing member. We entered into new partnership with a second insolvency administrator, Vision Blue. We launched VersaVault and DRT Cyber Inc. We created three new e-commerce origination channels, and we grew e-commerce purchase receivable program in total assets to over $1 billion. We achieved, of course, record EPS and core cash earnings of 85 cents and $1.32, respectively. Turning to slide five, here's what we plan to do in 2020. We plan to launch a MasterCard co-branded credit card program. We plan to launch a new project we codenamed Direct Connect. We're going to continue to expand our e-commerce product offering to support additional incremental portfolio growth. We're going to maintain our commercial banking portfolio around its present size. We're going to expand our commercial deposit base. And we're going to expand DRT Cyber Inc.'s capabilities and product scope. This all, of course, should result in increased EPS and core cash EPS. Turning to slide six, lower non-interest expenses, lower provisions for losses, and higher NIM, that would be a net interest margin, that's increased to 304 basis points from 300, contribute to net income increase over last quarter. VB's provision for credit losses ratio for the quarter remained negligible, and VB's efficiency ratio improved to 45.26% for the quarter. Turning to slide seven, revenue declined slightly, but as I said earlier, it was made up by a significant reduction in non-interest expenses and a decrease in provision for losses, giving rise to a record quarterly net income for the quarter. Turning to slide eight, shows how our regulatory capital increased. And in terms of capacity, roughly we have approximately $2 billion worth of capacity for CMHC mortgages, or about $1 billion worth of capacity for conventional mortgages, and approximately $500 million in capacity for our receivable purchases. And notice I'm saying or. what we expect as a combination of these various programs to grow. Turning to slide 9, this slide shows our net interest income figure declining slightly over the previous quarter, but this reduction, as I mentioned earlier, was offset by a reduction in non-interest expenses. Slide 10 shows that in 2019, we benefited from an increase in revenue year over year and a recovery of a provision for credit losses, while non-interest expenses only increased marginally. This, turning to slide 12, shows our provision for credit losses, as usual, being one of the lowest in the industry, just declining to only 13 basis points. On slide 12, our bank's model involves taking, of course, minimal credit risk, and that's been illustrated over the decades by having one of the lowest loan loss provisions in our industry. And also targeting niche markets where we were able to earn extraordinary wide net interest margins. As those that follow banks will know, that generally you don't get your cake and eat it too. If you're to have wide interest margins, the size of what VersaBank is able to produce, normally you give a good portion of that back in provisions for losses. But over the decades, our model, by targeting niche markets using technology, has given rise to having our cake and eat it too. Going to slide 13. Fourth quarter, we only had two non-performing loans. And one loan was normalized, dropping off our gross impaired loans so that the ratio dropped from 1.58% down to 39 basis points. We expect that we'll be able to normalize this one remaining impaired loan in the present quarter. Turning to slide 14, this slide illustrates that more than half of our loans are in Ontario. Of course, the two factors that explain that are that Ontario has the largest population in the country, and historically, Ontario is where the roots are of VersaBank. It's where VersaBank was formed. Turning to slide 15, this illustrates that the balance of our loan portfolio has remained relatively static over the past year. This has resulted from our strategy of reducing the size of our real estate loan portfolio and increasing the size of the purchased loan and lease portfolio. Well, there's been a reconfiguration over the course of 2019 where we let certain non-core real estate loan assets repay, and we replaced them with growth in our receivable purchase program. Slide 16. Talks about VersaVault. This is a technology that we created that we believe is leading-edge technology to safely store digital assets. We're very excited about the potential that VersaVault brings to the bank. Looking at slide 17, this is an interesting correlation graph that shows that VersaBank's common shares remain a significant outlier, I guess that's what you'd call it, on the buy side. Hopefully with more education of our market, that can be rectified. With that, I'll close my formal remarks and turn it over to the operator, Melanie, to open the floor for questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time. If you have a question, there will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Stephen Boland. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Maybe first question, David, if you could just talk about the two business segments, commercial loans. You know, it continues to trend down a little bit further compared to Q3. I mean, where do you see the bottom in terms of the loan book in that segment kind of bottoming out?
Probably bottoming out this quarter. Steve, the commercial banking portfolio is basically composed of construction loans and term loans and such. We call them legacy loans from the past. Some are public sector loans with thin spreads. So what we've allowed to do is the non-core business, that being the thin spread term loans and public sector loans, to repay. And we also had a fair amount of construction loans mature that we're now replacing. So going forward, you'll see the book remain about the same. It'll be a little bit of growth in the construction area, and that we've authorized quite a number of new construction loans, but not much growth in that area, 2 or 3% or something like that in the upcoming year.
Okay, that's good. Second question is on the e-commerce loans. You know, there is some speculation that there is some portfolio, you know, that are up for sale that may be changing. I'm not sure if you've heard that, and you know, is there a possible impact to your business over the next several quarters?
Yeah, we have heard that, and it's I guess what you'd expect. It's a relatively new market, and there's a bit of consolidation going on. The impact on us might be positive, in that some of these portfolios that might be changing hands are accessible by us, what we call through our Direct Connect software we're developing. We don't see really any overall impact on the growth of that portfolio. There's a few other originators that we've been working with in some very large markets that I think will more than make up for the perhaps reduction in the ones that might be bought by others. So we're looking for, again, significant growth in our receivable purchase program, and on the, of course, in the commercial banking sector, hardly any growth, but maintaining where it presently is at.
Would those large originators that you just mentioned, are those possible? Are they coming on stream in this fiscal year? Possibly.
This quarter.
This quarter, okay.
Yeah, this quarter. We've been working on it throughout 2019, and I suppose in a sort of reaction to what you're alluding to, there has, you know, it's been a shakeup in the industry and consolidation. So we set our sights on some new markets that we thought were relatively untapped, and developed the software and the capability of receiving receivables from these markets. So in this quarter, you should start to see those going on the books. I'd expect it to gather momentum throughout the year.
Okay. And last question for me, David, just on the NIM, it's floated around, you know, that 3% mark, came down 8 basis points sequentially. I mean, is 3 still a decent number, or do you expect, you know, to float up and down a little bit in that range?
I expect it to hover around 3, up and down a little bit. The reason why it dipped a bit in one of the past quarters and then recovered is the gross impaired loan that we had. We were accounting for some of the interest. It wasn't going into income, and then it was recaptured when the interest was paid. So it gave a little fluctuation in the NIM. But generally speaking, we look for a 3% NIM. We target that. And that's one of the reasons why you saw us let the thinner-priced legacy loans repay. And, in fact, what we did is replaced those loans with the higher-priced receivables that we were purchasing to hold on to the 3% NIM.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question, and the following question is from Brian Smith. Please go ahead.
Yes. First, I want to congratulate you on your excellent results. I'm also surprised that the market hasn't recognized the value of your stock, and I've asked this to your investor relations person a while back, but I have one question, and I have another one after. The first one is, given the fact that your stock is undervalued, instead of a dividend increase, had you considered a normal course issuer bid that could, in fact, take advantage of the undervaluation for existing shareholders that aren't interested in selling? And the second question is, if we were to take a look at your business, there seems to be this very efficient banking machine that's there, and then you have this option with these new businesses in cyber technologies, MasterCard, and so forth. Could you, in order to get a better understanding of the potential of your business, could you identify how much of your cost structure is associated with the new businesses versus the legacy? I know your efficiency ratio is 45%, but if you didn't have all the energies that are dedicated to building these new businesses, what would your efficiency ratio be? Maybe you could answer the second one first and then go to the normal cost issue.
Right, sure. Well, I haven't got the numbers off the top of my head, but we do devote a fair amount of energy, money and time into developing new businesses. Our mission statement is to provide innovative financial solutions to our clients in selected niche markets. So keeping in line with that mission statement, we're always having a look at what new innovative solutions we can provide. So it does soak up quite a bit of time. If we were steady state, I just speculate that efficiency ratio would drop significantly lower. And, the earnings would probably stabilize at one of the best in the industry, I suppose. But the risk is with today's changing technology environment, which is being illustrated by Steve Boland's questions, you could find yourself become redundant. Some of the products could maybe not be as attractive as they have been in the past. So we feel it's important that we keep looking forward about what new ideas we can bring to the market. What I was alluding to with Steve's question is, in the receivable purchase program, that's a relatively new business. We started it about 7 years ago. And for a little while, we were one of the first movers in it and had quite an advantage. Well, lots and lots of other FIs have come into it. So we have come up with some new technology to apply to that industry that we were hoping to roll out this quarter. So we think it's worthwhile spending the time on that. And this particular code name Direct Connect, we think it's something that will give the bank an advantage for many years to come. With respect to the normal course issuer bid, yes, indeed, we did have a look at that. It just takes a month or so to get it in place. And we're putting it in place, but it may very well be that some of these new initiatives that I was referring to will start soaking up the capital rather rapidly. And I'd be surprised if our stock stays at the level it is. It's just such a outrageous outlier I think if we could wave our magic wand and start buying the stock back when it was as low as it was around 650, 680, maybe we would have done it, of course. But by the time normal course issuer bids and gets in place, I think with these earnings releases regathering our momentum in the receivable purchase area with these new products, that we'll start to utilize the capital rapidly, and the stock will probably reflect it. Any more questions, operator?
Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. Actually, I'm sorry, we do have a question from Brian. Hold on one moment. Brian Smith, please go ahead.
First of all, I'm, again, fascinated by your initiatives here. Could you tell us more about the MasterCard credit program? That's been a very profitable niche for the activity for the major banks to have. How do you see yourself playing this out?
Well, at the onset, some of our existing customers are interested in partnering with us on a MasterCard. Last year, we applied to MasterCard to have a conditional approval to issue the card. There's a number of areas that are complementary to our type of business. I like, in particular, the MasterCard Global Elite card that allows MasterCard holders to utilize their cash on deposit with a bank throughout the world with a secured card. It works well for us in that it sort of fast-forwards us away from the archaic ways of doing that, i.e. Traveler's checks and other types of checks where if you're a world traveler, you'll find it very difficult to use your money. I like that one. And then there's prepaid cards in riskier markets that we're having a look at, again, in partnership with some of our existing customers.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for the good questions.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to make earlier calls, but this is the first opportunity I've had to join your conference call. It's just surprising to me that there's not more people on here.
Well, hopefully we're going to change that. We've got this year. Stop that the embarrassment of having a stock that's trading a good bit less than the TSX average as with respect to multiples. It is turning out to be a bit of an embarrassment having a stock trading that low. Mind you, for myself personally, I think the insider reports show that. I've been capitalizing on it, but we're hopefully going to raise the flag up the pole a little bit more and talk about what we're up to.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I see a lot of fintech, so it's companies trying to start out. So you're doing it. So I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
So okay, thank you again. I also want to comment that you're the first CEO that has actually started new initiatives and hasn't increased the admin costs, so congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's the trick. We talk to our staff, well, not saying every day, but maybe every second day, about finding economical ways to do things, faster, cheaper ways of doing things. We take a hard look at our cost structure, and you can also use the new technology internally to do things a little more economically, and that's what we try to do, because obviously these types of costs can get away in you in a hurry if you don't watch them.
Yeah, I know. It's the whole premise behind your bank is actually why you're going to be more successful. The other banks have to set up innovation centers outside their main core because they're not thinking like you are. They have the bureaucracy to worry about in the politics. You've got at the core of your business. I'm so impressed.
No, thank you. Yeah. Hopefully, this will turn in your world. We'll be all happy about it.
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know what, if you're not going to the market looking for capital, then you're not followed that much. So that appears to be the way it is. So I wouldn't take lack of coverage as anything other than that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, that's the way the markets work. They're all excited about cannabis one day, cryptocurrencies, pure plays the next day. So, and this is coming from somebody who's been teaching finance for years. So, retail investors, they get what they pay for.
Yeah, unfortunately, it seems in the last year they've really learned some hard lessons.
Yeah. So institutions, you'll probably get some smart institutions hopefully covering you more, so, or at least making investments.
Yeah, we're hoping so this year. No, with 5 years' history with this sort of growth, hopefully.
It's amazing. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Operator?
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There are no further questions registered at this time. I'll turn the meeting back over to you, Mr. Taylor.
Well, thank you, everybody, for dialing in. I appreciate having the opportunity to talk about VersaBank. Look forward to catching up at the end of the next quarter. Have a nice day here in London town. We're being greeted with torrential rains. I noticed the corn is still in the fields. I was driving in from the country where farmers haven't been able to harvest their crops, and I also noticed a neighbor of mine was outside building what looked to be like an ark. So I'm sure you're dialed in for all over the country, but you have a little sympathy for us here in London, Ontario. And thank you again for dialing in.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.